Would you open the Word of God tonight to the book of Revelation, the very last book of our Bible? Thank God for His Word. And we are still looking at the things that are hereafter. And of course, we'll be looking at the things that are hereafter from here on out, all the way through the end of the book. And I'm not going to say that I'm going to look at every chapter and every verse through this book. I'm going to go all the way through chapter 6, and I don't know, we might not skip any of it, but I'm trying to do it all three services so it won't take us a year to get through it like we did the book of Romans. And I think some things have been very helpful as I've studied this. I hope it's been very helpful to you. And again, you can look at a lot of commentaries, get a lot of thoughts, but I'm just trying to be very helpful and deal with the things that we can understand and try to give application to be very helpful. And so that's our thoughts. Now, again, as I start with the preface of this message, you have to understand, and I know you've all heard this, but chapter 1, verse 19 is the key to the whole book. And so if you miss that, you miss the whole book, because you got to understand that it was written in the form, that's the outline, the things which had been seen, the things which are, and the things which are hereafter. So we are in the hereafter. Everything we're preaching is future, and now we're in the tribulation. As far as what we're teaching and preaching, that's where we are in the Word of God. So you have to keep that in mind. This past Sunday, we're continuing our journey through this book. Remember, we started the tribulation period. It's a 7-year period, 2 3.5 years. 2 segments that are 3.5 years long make 7 years. And so we dealt with the 4 horsemen. The 4 seals were open. The Lamb is the only one worthy that can open up the seals, and He started to open the seals, and He's seen the 4 horsemen. We dealt with that Sunday. We're going to deal with the last 2 seals tonight. And so I'm just simply, I could call this the cries of heaven and of earth. Could name that, or I could just say it's the 5th and 6th seal opened. That's what we're looking at. The 5th and 6th seal is being opened, and this is the judgment of God. And so as we look at this, we find this passage in Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. And so remember, in our last study, we dealt with the 4 horsemen. The 4 horsemen were the seals that were opened, and this is the things that are going to be hereafter. We know that the world, we were introduced to the Antichrist. The first one that rode on the white horse was the Antichrist. He's going to conquer the world during the tribulation. And He's going to do it in the first little bit without even firing a shot. And then the second seal is going to be open and peace is going to be taken from the world. There's going to be violence all over the land. There's going to be famine and pestilences. And the Bible says that 1/4 of the people on earth are going to die in those 3.5 year period. And they're going to die from the sword, violence, murder, pestilences, probably viruses, and you could name it, starvation. 1/4, the Bible says, is going to die. And so we were introduced to all of that with these 4 seals. And so now we're going to consider the next 2 seals broken, I believe, during the last 3.5 year segment. So here's the amazing thing. This is a very unique subject. Let's look at verse 9. Chapter 6, and when He had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and they for the testimony which they held. I want you to notice verse 10. I thought this was interesting. And they cried with a loud voice. That would be considered a prayer, right? So there's cries in heaven. What's the crying? What's the praying? These are the folks that have been slain, martyred for their faith. And they've cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld when He had opened the 6th seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake.
And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the I want you to notice this. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now I want you to notice this. They cried too, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Heavenly Father, we pray you'll help us. Speak to our hearts, illuminate your word. Lord, motivate us to get busy. And Lord, also to be thankful if we're saved. If we're tonight not saved, I pray you would convict. Realize they do not want to be left behind. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see these cries. Interesting, isn't it? Unique. We see cries in heaven of the martyred ones, the ones that were slain for their faith. We'll talk about that in a minute. But then you also see in this same passage, before the end of the passage, God's wrath is rolling upon the earth at that moment during the tribulation. Remember, the saints are in heaven, all the saved have been up in heaven, and now the ones that have been left behind, that's godless and been living for, and they're following the Antichrist, and they're engaged in godless behavior, God's wrath and judgment falls on them on this second, on these last two, or especially the last seal. And we're going to look at both of them. But first, let's look at the triumphant. Let's look at the saints in heaven. What's going on here in verse 9 through 11? We're taken back to heaven as we see the souls of martyred saints. These are folks that have been killed. And the Bible very clearly says they've been killed for their faith. They've been killed because they believe the Word of God. They believe Jesus Christ. Their souls, the Bible said, was under the altar, and they were bearing witness to the sacrifice that they made for Christ. Now, this is an interesting subject. And I want you to know, let's look at their condition. Look at verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Now, that word slain, it just simply means this. And it's not just slain. This is what it means, to be butchered or slaughtered. They were murdered, and they were murdered in a very violent way. Why? Were they criminals? No. Were they a debt to society? No. The Bible very clearly says why they were martyred. They were martyred because of their testimony and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say, I believe that these were the saved after the rapture. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more throughout the book. But someone might say, is people going to be saved during the rapture? I believe this passage of Scripture is a part where it proves that yes, there will be people saved during the rapture. We're going to see here in a little bit, actually in the very next chapter, we're going to see a reference to the 144,000. And we're going to be introduced to two witnesses that are going to be preaching the gospel in a little bit. So we know, and based on this passage, the Bible says in verse 11 here of chapter 6 that the ones up there that were crying saying, Lord, how long is it going to be till you avenge me? And the Lord says to them, you're going to have to wait a little while until more are killed and martyred just like you. So they're going to be martyred during the tribulation period. So we know that there's people going to be getting the gospel. There's going to be people that are going to trust Christ as their Savior. And I want to say this. Most will give their life for their faith in the tribulation period. So I want to say, the Bible says here that these were the folks that had been slain. These were martyrs. And we understand that Christians have been martyred since the birth of Christianity. I can give you some numbers tonight that would stagger you even today, how many professing Christians are being martyred for their faith in foreign countries. Do you understand that since Islam, since 2001, that the Islam faith has grown and the martyred Christians has grown as well? People that are actually dying and being persecuted for faith in Christ. So we understand these have been all through history. By the way, they've been beheaded. Christians have been beheaded. They've been crucified. And of course, we know, history tells us, we know, we're told by Christian history that Peter was crucified upside down. Now, we don't know for sure if that's true or not, but that's what history tells us. We know that the Apostle Paul was beheaded. We know many were stoned. During the Roman Empire, during Nero's godless reign, he had many Christians torn asunder. Many of them would be eaten in the arenas of gladiators or killed by wild animals. He would light many of them on fire for his parties. These are truth. This is Christian people. What did they do, Pastor? They just trusted Jesus. They were martyred for their faith. They were burned at the stake. They've been impaled on stakes. They've been set on fire. They've been eaten by wild beasts. Listen, the blood of martyrs have been from the beginning of time, the beginning of the church. It's only going to increase during the tribulation. Can I say their condition in heaven? These folks are crying, they're praying, and they're asking. They're asking God, how long, Lord? So this raises the age-old question, and I asked this a moment ago. Could I be saved after the rapture? Well, I want everybody to know here, and we'll talk about this later. But I'm going to tell you something I truly believe. If you hear the gospel in the age of grace, and you reject the gospel, you reject the truth of God's word, you reject God's plan, and the Lord Jesus comes, you're going to be sent a strong delusion. You're going to believe a lie. So can I just say to everyone listening online tonight, and if you're in this building, when you hear the gospel, if you are saved, you ought to be thankful every time you hear that Jesus Christ paid for your sin dead on the cross. And if you've trusted Him as your personal Savior, you ought to be absolutely overwhelmed and thankful for that. But tonight, if you're listening and you say, Pastor, I've just never trusted Christ, my only question for you is this: why in the world not? I'm telling you right now, without Him, life is futile. So I say to you, do not be left behind to be at the mercy of God's judgment, God's extending grace. We still have an opportunity to respond to the gospel. And so I want to say, you ought to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. So we see in heaven, we know that they're crying and they're wanting justice for their blood being shed, and it's being shed, and they've been killed because they've only trusted the Lord. Now let's look what the Lord says. Let's look at their cry. Look at verse 10. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord? Holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? The martyred saints are seen here crying with a loud voice unto the Lord, and they aren't praying for mercy. They're not praying for mercy for the ones that have murdered them. They're praying for judgment. They're saying, Lord, how long are the Christians going to be the ones that have to endure all of this godless, violent persecution? When, Lord, are you going to do something? When are you going to come as the lion? When are you going to avenge the innocent blood of the ones that just trusted you? And I think this is, we'll talk about it in a minute, but we see that God does comfort them. Notice what He says. Look at verse 11. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. You know what the Lord said? I can see it. Y'all just rest a while. It's not time yet, but it's coming. Y'all ever been all tore up? I get tore up sometimes. Y'all ever get tore up? Y'all want something? Y'all want it now? Y'all think it ought to happen now? Y'all know what I mean? I'll tell you right now, they need to get theirs now. Y'all ever said something like that? They need to get theirs now. I'll tell you right now, how long are they going to keep winning? How long? How long is the wicked going to win? You know what God said? Just calm down there, Mark. In other words, like, you know, you think you know so much, Mark, but look at me. I'm God. I know what I'm doing. He said, just rest there a little bit. Just here, I can see Him saying, y'all just, He's just lay your cotton picking head down there a little bit. Just rest. I got it. You know, sometimes we think we got to help God out. Y'all with me? And that's what these saints are saying. Lord, how long? I mean, we know that You're a God of grace, but at this point, I'm telling you right now, these folks, our blood needs to be avenged. And so He comforts them. He said, be patient. And here's what He said. Wait till I finish my plan. You know what amazes me? I know I'm human, and I'm not the greatest of planners, but here's what I told someone the other day. Now, I'm not the greatest of organizers, but I will say this. This is my life, and I say this is my life. The Lord is my life, but, you know, y'all brought me here to pastor this church, and I hope and pray I'm trying to do the best that I can with the Lord's help. I know I'm incapable, but it's kind of funny sometimes. There are sometimes people will come up to me, and they're like, have you thought about this? Or, you know, they sometimes come to me like, have you really put any thought on that? And I kind of want to laugh because I want to say, when am I not? When am I not? You know, when am I not? Yeah, I thought about that 2 years ago. And by the way, I need work on planning things, but at the same time, usually someone will come up and I say, yep, that's for sure. But I can promise you that there's been other times someone will come up to me and said, hey, have you thought? And I've looked at them and says, no, I haven't. Well, that's just plumb slipped my mind. But I'm going to promise you this, it ain't slipped God's. We can rest. I'm going to tell you what, His plan is perfect. And you know, sometimes not everybody here, and there's some, I don't even know all the story. I said something to someone the other day, and I hope everyone understands this. I hope just because you know I don't reveal things doesn't mean that I'm not aware of it. You understand that. There are a lot of things we won't reveal or can't reveal, but that doesn't mean that I'm not concerned and I'm not aware of it and we're not trying to do things to make it better or to work on things. So I'm just saying this. I know I'm an absolute dumb hillbilly from West Virginia, and if I have a little bit of a desire and a little bit of passion to want to know, to do things around here, I can promise you God's plan is flawless. It's flawless. So he tells these saints, y'all just hold on. I'm going to work my plan. He said, I'll just rest a while. See, that to me, that's comfort. And that kind of went along with our song. I appreciate you singing that song, Brother Don. I needed it. Sometimes all we have is His Word. That's all we have. And so, you know, I couldn't imagine folks, they're in heaven, they're saying, you know, how long, Lord? How long? How long? How long? When are you going? And so he comforted me. He said, listen, just be patient. Rest. I'll finish my plan. The soil of every inhabited place has been stained with the blood of those who wouldn't deny the Lord. One day, Jesus will be silent no more. He will come with a rod of iron and He will avenge their blood and His precious name. Look at me. You can take that to the bank. He will do right and there will be judgment. People that think they're going to get by and get away with things on this earth, look at me. They are not going to get by with it. They will be judged. I don't understand why good people have to suffer, I've heard. I don't see how the wicked continually to prosper. All we can do is trust God and know that He's in complete control of all things. There's coming a day when the wicked will be cut off. The redeemed will share the glory of God as we stand in the presence of our Redeemer of all eternity. And so, listen to me. Let's rest. I know it looks like right now the wicked's winning. It really does. It looks like the wicked's winning. Here's what amazes me. How can some people up in Washington get away with everything and some can't get away with nothing? That's crazy, ain't it? I mean, some people can sit there and lie to you, right? I mean, and it's so blatant. I'm like, I don't even know how in the world people are so foolish that they can't see through some of that stuff. But listen to me. Let's just rest, church, because you know what? God's got it. We're going to trust Him. He says to us, even to this day, that's what I learned from that. He tells them martyred saints, just rest, be patient. I'm going to work my plan. And when the plan's done, you're going to say, I knew He'd take care of it. Hasn't He always took care of it? He certainly will. So we see the cries in heaven. But then as I close tonight, we see the cries on earth. Now this is a totally different cry. I was talking to Brother Larry. Of course, I was talking to Brother Mike. Brother Mike has some interesting, helpful things about the book of Revelation. My brother-in-law, we were talking. and we were talking about it as it being, he believes it's a court scene. And I said something to Brother Larry, and he said, well, absolutely, it could be a court scene. He said, the court scene is in heaven, and the judgment and the reaction of that court and decision is put on earth. There's no doubt about that. And I want you to know something. When we think about the judgment of God, when this sixth seal is opened, and I beheld, verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. Now we see the tribulation that the sinners are enduring, and it is absolutely a tribulation of horror. 12, verse 17, and we're going to talk about them, because I'm sure as you read that, your mind kind of come to life and say, what's that mean? We know what an earthquake is. But what about when the stars of heaven are falling into the earth like a wind shaking figs out of a tree? So in other words, there's going to be many meteors or stars, meteor-like, hit the earth. And you say, well, Pastor, has there ever been one that's hit the earth? I'm going to talk to you about it. I did a little bit of study on this on the internet today. It's amazing what you find that I didn't have any clue about. But let's look at their cry. What's their cry all about? And they cried with a loud voice. And here's why they're crying. While the saints in heaven are crying for judgment, the sinners on earth are praying for deliverance from the wrath that's falling upon them. Their lives are filled with horror as God is pouring out His wrath on them. So let's look at the devastation. Just look at verse 12. The Bible says, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as soft cloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now, what's that mean? I had to do a little bit of looking here, and I hope I'm right, but if not, I don't think it nonetheless, it would not take away from the absolute destruction and the fear that this should cause. But this great earthquake, what does that mean? And by the way, this is the first of three that hits during the tribulation period. And can I say, as a result of this earthquake, there was such an enormous cataclysm, it dimmed the powerful light of the sun and the moon, and the sun, the Bible says, was black. And the reason being is, let me give you a picture of that. Do you remember, and I kind of was aged here, we were in the teen class teaching, and I said, none of you were born in 2001, were you? And I thought, wow, not one teenager. You know, they wouldn't be teenagers older than that. But 2001, there wasn't one teenager. So I said, I couldn't really reference. They didn't know where they were in 2001 because they weren't here yet. But I thought, do y'all remember that eerie feeling late that evening? There was such dust and clouds and ash of all that debris still hovering because of all of the debris and all of that chaotic crashing and all that smoke and burning. And if you notice, there was a clip there towards the evening. The sun was trying to shine through, but the sun couldn't get through, and all you could see was the rubble of those buildings, and it looked like the sun was black. Why? Because it was covered with ash, and the air was filled with such... Here's what this is a picture of. This earthquake is going to cause such devastation, such debris. So many things and so many buildings are going to fall. Just like in 9/11, when those buildings toppled and all of that debris went in there. The Bible says that it's going to be like the sun is going to be in sackcloth of hair. It's going to be red because it's going to be trying to penetrate through all the dirty air. When we talk about this earthquake, it's going to be a time of great horror. It's going to be dimming the powerful light of the sun and the moon. The sun will look black. The moon will appear red as it tries to shine through the contaminated atmosphere. Listen, we're no strangers to earthquakes. Scientists, and I looked this up, estimated that more than 13 million people have died in earthquakes over the last 4,000 years. I thought about this. On December the 26th, 2004, an 8.9 earthquake, and this touched us a little bit because we were at Greystone. My good friend, Brother Comer, he went to India. It was after this took place, but he got deathly sick and was in the hospital, and it was all because of this. And I know many of you know what I'm getting ready to say, but there was an earthquake in the Indian Ocean. It triggered a giant tsunami. It affected 20 countries, two continents. The confirmed death toll stands at 228. With 125,000 more injured, 40,000 people missing, and 1.5 million displaced because of that one tsunami. Y'all seen the pictures of it. There was people in from America was over there on vacation in certain places, and they were absolutely displaced. I mean, it went into miles. People were killed because of one earthquake in the middle of the Indian Ocean. And then my friend Jonathan went to India to minister there months later, but the water was so contaminated, he got sick there. And he was deathly sick in the emergency room when they finally got him back home. I can remember that. That was not long after this tsunami. But it was all created because of an earthquake. Then, not only that, the Bible says the earthquake won't be the only devastation. I want you to look at verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Now, I want to tell y'all something. You're talking about a meteor shower. Now, this is like scientific stuff that, you know, you watch movies about. But I'm telling you right now, I wonder where these movies come up with this stuff at. It's going to happen. Now, I did a little bit of studying here. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree cast their untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The earth will be pelted with meteor showers in those days. There is a crater. It's called the Beringer Crater. It is in near Flagstaff, Arizona. You can go there today. Has anybody been there? There's a memorial there. There's a museum there. It's because a meteor hit that area. And I want to just give you the parameters of this Beringer Crater where one meteor hit the United States and right outside of Flagstaff, Arizona. The Beringer Crater in Winslow, Arizona was formed by a meteor hitting Earth. It was estimated to have been between 90 feet and 150 feet. It left a crater of 4,000 feet across, 2.5 miles in circumference, and over 550 foot deep. I seen the picture of it today. Imagine the impact as God unleashes the stars of heaven up on the earth. You say, well, I just don't think it's scientifically correct. Well, it's already happened, but I can promise you this. God said, the stars will come down like out of a fig tree. It's going to happen. And you know what I say to that? We better make sure we're in heaven. As the heavens roll back, there will be great geological shifting upon the earth. Verse 14, the Bible says that it's going to depart like a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. In other words, here's what that means. Mountains and islands will literally be moved out of their places, no longer be where they were, creating devastation unlike the world has never known. And again, you know what I say? I'm glad I'm saved. And then I want to give you this. Let's look at the despair of the wicked. Look at verse 15. This is amazing to me. I've got to hurry. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves. Here's the devastation. Here's the despair of the wicked. Here we see all men, great and small, rich and poor, powerful, great presidents, great leaders. The Bible says great captains, great mighty men, even bondmen, every free man. What did they do? They hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. Places of position, places of power and prestige will not matter. All will stand equal before God. All their worldly accomplishments will not prevent the hand of God and the wrath of God. The judgment of God. Can I say, look at their position. The Bible says they hid themselves. Where'd they hide themselves? They could hide themselves anywhere they could find a place to hide. The Bible said they hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks, in the mountains. Mankind is found seeking some type of shelter from Almighty God. And listen, here's what's amazing to me. For thousands of years, people have stood defiant in the face of God. They've refused His tender mercies. They've consumed it on their sinful lusts. But in that terrible day, no longer will they be standing in open defiance before God, but desperately trying to hide from his wrath. All they can do is hide in fear. You know what I wish? I wish some people that are very evil and think they've got it now, I wish they'd read the book of Revelation. I'm going to be honest with you. There are some evil people right here in our world and country, and they're in places of leadership. And they think they got it. You know, here's what's amazing me. And I can't say all politicians, but most politicians, especially up on the national level, they honestly think we're a bunch of idiots. And you know what? They like for us not to get involved and know nothing. They've run amok for years up there because the average American, they say, oh, they can take care of it. Look at me. They can't take care of it. That's not what our government was founded. It was governed, it should be governed by the people. We the people. That's why it's so important everybody gets out and votes, because you ought to put somebody up there that's supposed to represent your views. But I even sometimes have to, just because Laura knows, I'll watch Fox News every once in a while. Y'all ever watch Fox News? I wouldn't watch any other kind, amen. I mean, it's bad enough. But I watch Fox News, and you know what I do? I'm going to confess. Especially in the morning, Laura just says, she said, honey, just calm down. Just calm down, honey, it's okay. She said, I'm not your enemy. I said, I know, I'm just venting. And you know, some of the people up here, they make me so mad. And I look at the TV and I said, you think we're so stupid. And they just think they can run amok and say whatever they want to say. And you know, here's what amazes me. These people that are so wise and so smart, you know, they were so smart they got set up at a salon. Come on, y'all help me. And then we've learned this whole Mueller investigative team, and they're running our country, this FBI. I mean, these are the most powerful law enforcement people in the world, and they're too crazy and stupid not to know how to operate a phone. Somebody help me. They done forgot their passcodes. I mean, come on. And I say all that because you know what? You know what? Listen to me. You know what? That makes me mad, because these people think they're above the law. And they think they can do it, they can hide it, and they can just run amok. But listen to me, I'm going to be honest with you. I got to come back down to earth and say, you know what? I'd hate to see one of them hiding. You know what I'd like for them to do? I'd like for them to know how good the grace of God is and get saved. Because these very people that's so powerful and they're so place of prestige and they think no, they don't have to answer to anybody. The Bible says they're going to be hiding in the rocks, scared to death. You know what they're going to be? Their position. They're going to be hiding. Then their plea. What's their plea? And the Bible says they said they're crying to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Now, can you imagine? They were literally scared to death. They wanted to die to escape. That's going to be horrific. Do you know what that makes me think of? Going back to 9/11, do you know that there were many people in that building that jumped out of the building on purpose? You know why they did it? Because they felt that the ease of falling from a building would be easier to deal with than staying in that building and burning. These people are so scared, they're asking for the rocks to fall on them. You know what I thought about? These people would not receive the Rock of Ages when the time was there to receiving, but they're crying for physical rocks to take their life. I just want to say this. I'm glad I'm saved. I don't deserve to be saved. Their pleas for protection and deliverance go unheard. They're left to stand before the Lamb as He pours out His wrath for the sin of the world. Their position, their plea, and then as I close, their perception. Verse 17, for the great day of His wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? At this point, mankind realizes that the end was near. All the preaching, all the warnings that they heard, they wish they could have them back. They were praying, but they weren't praying to God. They were calling upon the natural world to save them. Man's always worshiped creation more than the Creator, but here the gods of this world would no longer have power to deliver them from the hand of Almighty God. They fully aware of what's coming. They're helpless to do anything about it, and it's far too late for mercy. We've considered cries in heaven. We've considered cries on earth during the tribulation. As we look at these last two seals open, you say, Pastor, what's the application? Well, again, the application is you better make sure you're saved and not be left behind. Because you know what? You can trust Jesus today in grace. The second application, I believe, is this. If you have family or friends or someone you're concerned about and you don't know for sure if they're saved, I think it's about time we start getting a burden for people like that and start actually getting, absolutely asking God to break our hearts to help us win them to Him. Then the third application, let's just all rest. God's got it. His plan, He's going to work His plan. He don't have to get our permission. He doesn't have to tell us when He's going to do it, how He's going to, we know how He's going to do it, but when He's going to do it, but we need to trust Him. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. We've just read the last two seals of this period, and we're going to look at some other things, go through the book during the tribulation period. How many of y'all thankful tonight that you know the good grace of God? Let's never get over it. Let's ask God to help us, to help others know that Jesus Christ is the way. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Now remember, this is all things that are hereafter. The tribulation. The saved are going to be raptured. Chapter 4, verse 1. Come up hither. Church is gone. Saved people are gone. This is chapter 6. The Antichrist has been revealed. First 3.5 years of all the judgment that we dealt with the first four horsemen. Then with these last two seals. I'm telling you what, millions of people are going to be dead during the tribulation period. And this ain't, look here, and we're still going. This is just chapter 6. There's a lot to be revealed. But I thank God I'm going to have a front row seat, amen? Round the throne. Don't ever forget it. Let's bow our heads. Can I ask tonight, is anyone here tonight? You say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm concerned about my soul. Is anyone like that? We got all home folk tonight. But can I ask this? How many of you, there's someone God's put in your heart. I'm going to just ask you right where you are. Would you just pray and lift their name up? We don't want them to be left behind. Let's ask for God, the Holy Spirit of God, to speak to people's hearts. Ask God to help us to have a desire to work in our hearts to be the witness that we ought to be. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness and grace. Lord, I realize, Lord, we live in a day, we have this little old minds, we don't understand everything, and we get so frustrated. We get so impatient. But Lord, as I was just studying this passage, You've helped me. Let's just, again, these were people in heaven crying, wanting You to avenge. But Lord, You just told them to rest. And Lord, You say that to us every day. Just rest. Trust Me. And so, Lord, why should I choose to live any other way? It brings anxiety. It brings frustration. It brings discouragement. I can't sleep good at night. So, Lord, I pray You'll help us to take us and we'll rest in You. We know Your plan is perfect, and You don't need help with it. Many times I've thought, maybe even someone would come to me and say, have You thought of this? There's been many times, Lord, I've come to You and said, Lord, have You thought of this? Of course You've thought of this. So I pray You'll help us to rest. We'll thank You for what You do in all of our hearts. Put a hedge of protection around us. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people say it.